just sitting here thinking, boy, I'm getting old. I was on Mark's thesis committee and on Leah's thesis committee. Anyway, I wasn't on yours, Nuri.
No.
What does that say about me?
Why would you ever write a book on clothes and laundry in nursing homes, my friends and colleagues ask me. And they're often the same people who say they're never going into a nursing home. But when I tell folks who know someone who lives in a long-term residential care home or who work in one, they immediately tell me a story about clothes and laundry. It is a personal story as well that illustrates just why we need a book like this. We didn't start out to study clothes and laundry. With our rapid site switching ethnography approach, which I'm happy to talk about more, we took teams of 10 to 12 people into a home to observe and interview over a week. The teams are international and interdisciplinary. Each team includes faculty and students. Teams work in pairs and in shifts, covering the home from 7 a.m. until after midnight. We study 27 different sites in the 6 different countries. Each team is different, with the constant being me and often Wendy, who is our administrator, although she calls herself something else. When not on shift, we constantly reflect together on what we've seen and heard and do so as well in our monthly seminars. In keeping with our feminist political economy approach, we interview the entire range of people who work, live, manage, and visit in long-term residential care, and do so in partnership with unions in the sector as well as with a nonprofit employers organization. 3 major issues continually emerged, especially in the US and Canada, but to a lesser extent in the UK and an even lesser extent in Germany, Norway, and Sweden. And Bea is here from Sweden who could tell you, from Germany who could tell you more about that. The 3 issues were, first, staffing, not enough hands. Second, food, areas that have received lots of attention. And then clothes, an area that hasn't received very much attention at all. When we met with senior managers and board members at a large home in Manitoba, I asked about clothes after we'd been meeting for a while. A female board member who hadn't said a word up until this point immediately responded and talked about her mother's sweaters. We've heard about so many mother's sweaters, you wouldn't believe. And her mother's sweater had gone missing before it appeared weeks later, shrunken and on someone else. It's a story we often heard. The social worker intervened to confirm residents' concerns about their clothes based on the surveys they did of residents on a regular basis. But the male director immediately intervened and said, let's get on to something more important. Illustrating, I think, why so little attention has been paid to clothes and laundry in long-term residential care. Yet clothes are not only an indicator of our social location. They're critical to, quote, the dignity of personal identity, as Bayer et al. Put it. They are particularly important in a place where so many other means of establishing personal identity are removed. It's the one thing you bring with you, right, is your clothes in terms of establishing you as an individual. Clothes, as you know, are about class, they're about culture, and they're about care. And they are, of course, also about gender. Their condition reveals the care work that's gone into their selection and maintenance, but the maintenance part especially remains largely invisible, to some extent because such work has long been the responsibility of women as well as some minority men, and is often hidden in the household, in institutional basements, or behind closed shop doors. This book is about clothes and about that invisible laundry work and its relationship to the dignity of personal identity for both those who do the work and those who wear the clothes, as Leah indicated in the introduction. We use this focus as a way into the analysis of larger political economy issues, not only at the local but also at the global level. We begin by assuming that the conditions of work are the conditions of care, and that those conditions range from the physical size of closets. Think about it. If you've got a little narrow closet, your clothes options are very limited. and the location of the machines where the washing is done to the global partnerships and patterns in ownership. One example that we use in the book is the issue of uniforms. One of our partner unions feels strongly that there should be uniforms, and the uniforms should be coded so you know who can do what. Others say, another union partner of ours say, no, that reinforces hierarchy and makes the place feel like an institution and not like a home. And one of the other things also related to our feminist political economy, of course, is that we've looked for tensions and contradictions as we look at these places, and the contrasts for the tension, for instance, or the contradiction between the representation of these places as home and their operation as incredibly formal and organized, regulated institutions. Finally, I want to stress three things. First, although we saw lots of negative examples, we also identified some promising practices. And we learned that as social scientists, we've been taught to look for bad things. And we had to struggle really hard to figure out what worked for whom under what conditions. Second, we share all of our data in the team. We have more than 550 interviews. We have thousands of pages of field notes. We have tons of documents on each of the 27 homes we visited. And those are all on our password-protected website and can be used by anybody on the team. So it's a very democratic process. And third, students are full partners in the team, as I think Bea and Kate can attest, as they both worked on this project. And it's that made it possible for Suzanne Day, who's the second author in this book, to write her thesis on personal support workers in a particular home that we studied. And Suzanne also came with us to the studies we did in the UK and in the Nordic countries. But she was able then to work on this laundry book, in part because we have shared access to all this data. So I want to end by saying, read the book. The other thing I would say, this is the third of what we're calling bookettes. is one of the ways we're trying to share what we know in accessible manners. They're free. This is the latest one, and I have brought copies here. But if you can download it without cost from the internet. It's on the website for the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.